Yeah. Okay, so good evening, everyone. It looks like there are some new faces, names I haven't yet met. So I'll just reintroduce myself. We have not yet met. Jared Ann Standig. I'm serving as one of the Skan Roshe Beit Midrash, Beit Midrash Zichron Dov, which is based up in Clanton Park, housed in Yeshivat Or Chaim in Clanton Park. And part of that means that I get to learn Torah and teach Torah in the Shaarei Shamayim community. As I mentioned before, I live in Bathurst in Lawrence. You're looking out my window is Bathurst. So if you see anything wild happening on the streets, you'll know that's Bathurst over there. I'm putting right now in the chat box the source sheet. So you can click on that. It'll take you to the source sheet. The question that we're now right now approaching. I also want to recognize, I think I saw my mom's here, my aunt's here, my cousin is here. So thank you all these people for coming to learn Torah together. We've got more people coming, so I'm just going to put in the chat box again this source sheet for people to wait another second. I'll put it in again once I finish the introduction. The introduction is, in the not-so-distant future, we're going to change the clocks, and Shabbat is going to start much earlier than it's been starting. So the question that I posed, and I just put in the chat box the source sheet again, the question, so I think I wrote down on November 12th, Shabbos is going to start candlelighting over here in North York is at 4:36. Right, so if we're starting Shabbat that early, so let's say I start Shabbat at 4:36, but maybe I don't want to eat until closer to 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I want to, give it a little more time if I'm ready to start eating. So the question is, do I have to eat so early? Right? This is a sister or brother of the question that comes up in the summer. Do I have to eat so late? But here's the question is, do I have to eat so early on Shabbat, on Friday night? That's the question. So this is a question, because if you look at source number one on this source sheet, which again is in the chat box over there. So the Shulchan Aruch, right, the major code of Jewish law rules, Shavo Leveto, when a person comes home, you should, coming home from shul, you should go and make sure to, you should quickly make dish immediately, right? There is a sense of urgency in the language of the Shulchan Aruch here that when we come home, we don't just come home and sit around, play, do a puzzle, whatever, read a book. The Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, you have to go, yemaher lechol miyad. Make Kiddush immediately. Right. So the question is, how absolute is this? That's what we're going to be focusing on. If we stop right here, we look at it and say, do we have to eat so early? I would say the answer is yes, you do. You says you have to eat immediately. But we're going to see over the next little bit that maybe it's a little more complicated than that. Before we begin, also feel free to throw out any questions either in the chat box, or you can just unmute yourself. We've been doing this for over years. Everyone's got great Zoom manners. Feel free to unmute yourself and just throw out the question. You can put it in the chat box, however you want. I'm going to try to monitor the chat box. So if you put anything in the chat box, hopefully I'll be able to see it. Okay, so that's the question. The question is that we're going to start with the big question. When the Shulchan Aruch says you have to do it immediately, what does that mean? Do we have to really do it immediately? That's the question. Okay, so we'll start. In order to get to the answer to this question, there's a separate question we're going to have to address, and that is the question of Kiddush. We make Kiddush on Friday night. Is that, are we fulfilling a biblical mitzvah, a mitzvah d'oraita, or are we fulfilling a d'rabbanan, a rabbinic mitzvah? And this is going to have ramifications for when we can be lenient, when we cannot be lenient. If it's biblical, there's a lot less wiggle room. We're saying this is a biblically Torah-ordained obligation. You can't really play fast and loose with this in any way. If it's rabbinic, if it's drabanan, okay, so maybe there's room for some leniency here and there. So that's the question. Is it deraita or is it drabanan? So we have in source number two, the Torah tells us, source number two, Sefer Shmot, Perkhaf, Pasukhet, Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. Remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. About that verse, in source number three, the Gemara, Talmud Masechet Pesachim 106a says, Hachi Kamar, this is what it means. Zachor Yom Shabbat LeKadosho, Zochrehu Al Hayayin B'Knisato. The English translation from Sepharia, this is what the Tanna is saying. Remember the day of Shabbat to sanctify it is a mitzvah to remember it over wine when it begins. So based on the Torah says we have to remember the Shabbat day to sanctify it. And the Gemara, source number three, had said that means that there is a mitzvah to remember it, to mention Shabbat over wine when Shabbat begins. So I'm going to ask you, so someone asks the question, does making Kiddush mean you have to proceed immediately to the full meal? Excellent question. Excellent question. We're going to assume for right now, the answer is yes. It's subject to a lot of discussion. We're going to assume when you make Kiddush, Kiddush leads right into the meal. There's this idea, Kiddush b'makom suda. Kiddush has to take place at the location that the meal is going to be eaten. And we also say, not only Kiddush b'makom suda, in the place of a meal, we even say Kiddush bizman suda. You even have to make the Kiddush at the time of the meal. So a good out that Monty was just suggesting was, maybe you just make Kiddush and then wait. We're assuming, which is almost everyone agrees, you can't do that. You go from Kiddush, leads right into the meal. But excellent question. Okay. So you look at this passage. I'm going to ask you, feel free to unmute, feel free to just throw in the chat box. When the Talmud says, the Torah says, remember the Shabbat day to sanctify it. It's a mitzvah to remember it over wine when it begins. Are we dealing with a biblical mitzvah, reciting Kiddush on Friday night, or rabbinic? From this passage in the Talmud, how would you read this line? Raise your hand if you think, or you can put a little, you know, the reaction emoji thing if you think that it's biblical from this. After all, it says, the Torah says this, that means that. That's interpreting what the Bible says. Right? So we'll see, there's actually
some... The application is biblical, but the application as far as what you need to do, as far as wine, that part's rabbinic.
Wait, so say that again, Chaim?
Basic obligation is biblical, but the application as far as how you do it is rabbinic.
Yeah, so when I say Kiddush on wine, am I fulfilling a biblical or rabbinic mitzvah? You're saying both.
But I don't drink wine.
Grape juice?
Doesn't say that. It says wine.
You're right. It says wine, but we're assuming...
So if you're being strict, it says wine.
It does say wine. I think virtually all authorities are going to rule that the status of grape juice is the same as wine. Just grape juice is just younger wine. it's wine that has not yet achieved maturity and has not yet become alcohol. But there's the whole discussion in the Talmud about non-alcoholic wine, which is grape juice. So, but we're not going to go in that. We're going to assume that it's grape juice is the same. Grape juice, wine, same rules. Okay, so Rambam, in source number 4, rules the following. He says, it is a positive biblical mitzvah. This is mitzvah aseh min ha-Torah. It is a biblical mitzvah, lekadesh et yom ha-Shabbat bidvarim, to sanctify the Shabbat day with words. Shneemar zachor yom ha-Shabbat lekadesho, as it says, sanctify it. Remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. The verse that we saw. Klomar, that is to say, Zochreyu zchirat shebach v'kiddush. One should remember it. This part is not translated in the English. Klomar zochreyu zchirat shebach v'kiddush. Remember it. Oh, it is there. Praise and sanctification. V'tzarich lazochreyu b'chnisato v'tziyato. And you have to mention this at the beginning, at the end. B'chnisato v'kiddush hayom v'tziyato b'havdalah. And then how do you mention it at both ends? Kiddush on the front end, havdalah on the second end. What we see from Rambam here, source number 4, Rambam is saying, the biblical mitzvah is hidush v'dvarim, saying words of sanctifying Shabbat. That's all the mitzvah is. This additional piece, and we're going to see, this additional piece of wine is a rabbinic mitzvah. This is source number 5. The Magen Avraham, or the Avraham Gambiner. He writes, Rambam wrote, Katava Rambam, Aperk Chavtet, Kiddush Hayom De'araita, Belo Yayin. The mitzvah on a biblical level is just to recite, say, sanctifying the Shabbat, whatever that is, without wine. The Rabbanan tiknu al hayayin. And the rabbis came along and said, oh, you know what? You should do it on wine or grape juice. The I'm sorry?
Hello.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
If you don't have wine and you don't have grape juice, my understanding is you could do it shahakol, can you?
Okay, that's going to take us in another direction. We'll say for Friday night, if you don't have wine or grape juice, better to make a kiddush on challah, on bread, which if you don't, going down the list, hopefully you'll have bread. If you don't have bread, then we'll have a further conversation. The idea about having Kiddush during the day on Shahakol, on Schnapps, on whiskey, like that, that's part of a whole other conversation that we're not going to get into tonight or into the future, but it's a really interesting question because many people have the practice to make Kiddush on Shabbat day. Because Shabbat day, everyone's going to agree, is in a different status. Because this idea that we're talking about right here is something unique to the beginning of Shabbat. And so that's not going to apply. It's making Kiddush on Friday night on Schnapps is not okay. There's maybe on Shabbat day, and that's subject to a whole other discussion. But on Friday night, it's got to be grape juice or wine or challah if you don't have that.
Okay, Rabbi, one more thing.
Yes.
Your initial statements here that you bring up talk about remembering the day.
Yes.
It doesn't talk about do the day this way. It says remember, just like we remember, say, Amalek.
Yeah, so that's an excellent point. I don't think I brought a source on this, but there is an opinion that says you just need to think it. All you need to do is think it. So there is an opinion that says exactly that, but the vast majority of authorities understand remember to mean do it in some way, manifest it in some way, say it, speak it in some way. But Charles is making a very good observation that that's not necessarily in the words itself. And there are those, therefore, that say on a biblical level, all you need to do is think it and you've done it. But virtually no one accepts that in practice. But that's a good observation. But here the Magen Avraham in source number 5 is observing, is explaining that Rambam, Maimonides, believes all you need to do is say something about Shabbat. You need to sanctify Shabbat with words. You don't need Kiddush. And he says that's not only him, but other people, Ken Katsua Tosfot, the Tosafist wrote that in Sukkah, that therefore seems to me that on a biblical level, here I'm reading in the middle of source number 5, on a biblical level, the Kiddush one recites during prayer services is sufficient. For the Torah requires, remember this Shabbat day, and behold, he remembered it. And Kiddush before the meal is a rabbinic enactment. The Magen Avraham says, when you go to shul and you have Ma'ariv in shul, and you mention Mekadesh HaShabbat, you have thereby sanctified the Shabbat, and you have thereby fulfilled the biblical obligation of Kiddush, and everything after that is only rabbinic. You've mentioned Shabbat at the outset, you said it in prayers, on a biblical level, you're good to go. The rabbis came along and said, say it again, do it on wine. But as far as the Torah is concerned, you have already fulfilled your mitzvah. That's the Magen Avraham's big point here, because he says, simply mentioning Shabbat, or Charles is going to say, even just thinking Shabbat, that should already be enough on a biblical level. Source number 6, the Rosh Barav, Shlomo ben Aderet, says similarly. He's living 300 years before the Magen Avraham dies in 1682. The Rashba, source number 6, he died already in 1310. So he died well before the Magen Avraham. But he says something very, says the same. This is probably one of the, where the Magen Avraham got this idea from. He says, remembering the Shabbat, bottom of first page, source number 6. The remembering the Shabbat when it enters, this is like a praise, comparable to what it says in the Talmud of Rabbi Chanina, that he would say, come, let us go out to greet the Sabbath queen. And he would sing praises, come bride, bowi kala, bowi kala. The Lecha Dodi, the Kabbalah Shabbat that we do in 2021, this is something that comes from the Talmud. And that's what used to be. That was how you would sanctify Shabbat with words. You would sing Kabbalah Shabbat. And then they would read, and the like, reciting verses about the sanctity of Shabbat. And everyone says what comes to them related to the praises of Shabbat, and no one is required to hold anything at the time, neither wine nor bread. You would just, this week, you know, you're feeling in a mood to say this verse about Shabbat. So you say, that's what people would do. They would just do whatever, don't hold it. You don't have to hold a glass of grape juice, glass of wine. You just say whatever you want, and that's Kiddush. And then the rabbis came along and they established for everyone one text during the meal while holding something. The rabbis came along and said, okay, you can say whatever you want, but we're going to have a uniform text that everyone's going to say. Everyone's going to hold a glass of grape juice or a glass of wine. We're going to all do it the same way at the same time. And they established it should be recited on wine for one sings praises on wine. And they established on the top of page number 2, they established that we should mention it in our prayers and during Birkat HaMazon, and that which they say, mention it on wine, that is rabbinic in nature, right? So the Rashba here is saying, yeah, initially, all the Torah really requires is say something nice about Shabbat. Sing a song, say, let's go out and preach Shabbat. You have fulfilled your biblical mitzvah. You don't have to do anything more. And the rabbis came along and said, okay, you know what? Well, let's have a uniform text here. Let's all do the same thing. Please, by all means, go ahead and sing your song. You do your thing and you'll fulfill your mitzvah, mid'oraita. You'll fulfill your biblical Torah command. But do something else afterwards and that'll be a rabbinic thing. So again, presumably, according to the Rashba, what we do, singing Lecha Dodi, doing all of Kabbalat Shabbat, everything that we do, that's all of biblical. You go to shul on Friday night, you've gotten your biblical obligation to sanctify Shabbat at its beginning, and so you still have to do the rabbinic thing, but you fulfilled the biblical thing. To extend it a step further, source number 7, Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, if reciting Kiddush with wine is biblical, then why would we recite it again? Because like, look, if we already had shul and we sanctified, we did that in shul, so why would we then make Kiddush again? Behold, everyone already fulfilled their biblical requirement during prayer. And it is difficult to say that we recite Kiddush on behalf of those who don't know how to pray. He says, look, if saying it in shul is enough, because you just have to mention it, is biblical, so I did it in shul. Then I'm going to go home and do it again? Why am I doing it again? What I do at home has got to be different from what I did in shul, because why would I do the same thing twice? Oh, so he says, maybe you're doing it at home for people who didn't go to shul. He says, who's not going to shul? Of course, everyone, Davin Marib, is what he thinks. Also, yes, let me just finish this point, and then I'll have your question. Hold on. Also, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, it seems that it doesn't need to be during prayer. Rather, whenever someone mentions Shabbat, this is what he says in the Hebrew, V'gam lichora, lav davke tefillah, doesn't have to be during davening, ela, dekol shemazkir Shabbat, ve'omer, shabta tavta, you say, Shabbat shalom, gam ken yotze, demikol makom yizkir Shabbat, you've mentioned Shabbat, I go up to you and say, good Shabbos, I've not mentioned Shabbat, and so that should be enough. So forget about even going to shul. Simply saying Shabbat Shalom, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, you have fulfilled your biblical requirement. So everything that we're doing at home with Kiddush, we're only in the world of Derabanan. No biblical mitzvah happening there. You did it as soon as you said good Shabbos to the person sitting next to you in shul. Yes, someone had a question?
Just a comment about, saying it at shul and not having to say it at home, but there's so many reasons to do it at home, even if you go to shul, because you've got little children at home, you've got people who haven't gone to shul with you at home. So I don't see why, why must one think that saying it at the shul is good enough.
So, thank you for that question. Let me clarify a little bit. Everyone is going to agree that when one returns home, there is still an obligation to recite Kiddush on wine, at the table, in front of the challah, that everyone's going to agree to that. The question here is whether what you're doing when you make Kiddush on Friday night at home on the glass of wine or grape juice, whether that is a biblical mitzvah or rabbinic. If it's biblical, then we have a problem. How do we delay this? There's a biblical obligation to do it at the beginning of Shabbat. If it's rabbinic, then there's a little more wiggle room. That's the idea here. It's true. You're still going to do it. We're going to go home and you're going to make Kiddush a second time. No one should walk away from this thinking, oh, I went to shul, so I don't need to make Kiddush at home. No, you do need to make Kiddush at home. That's a rabbinic mitzvah. But the point is that what all these sources are saying is that it's not biblical. And that's going to be important for the idea of delaying Kiddush until later on into the night. So Rabbi Akiva, what we've seen here is maybe it's when you actually daven and you say the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbat, that counts as biblically reciting, doing whatever you need to do for Kiddush. Then we saw the Rashba said it's actually even less than that. Even just singing like Lecha Dodi and Bowie Kala and saying Kabbalat Shabbat, that already could be it. And now Rabbi Akiva Eger in source number 7 is going so far as to say, as soon as you say Shabbat Shalom, you have fulfilled your biblical requirement. So you don't go home, you'll make Kiddush, it's rabbinic. But you no longer have a biblical obligation. That's what Rabbi Kiva Eger says. So source number 8, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, the Meir Halacha.
Hello.
He doesn't like the step that Rabbi Kiva Eger took. Question?
I have, what happened now? Yeah, I'm here.
Not a question. Okay. Okay. So here's what the mayor of Lafar, Yisrael Meir Kagan, passed away in 1905. He says, he never eating bechid yushen Rabbi Akiva Eger. He says, I saw what Rabbi Akiva Eger wrote about you could just say Shabbat Shalom and you fulfilled your biblical requirement. He says, that is wondrous, not in a good way. He says, that is pella. It's wondrous. I can't. Dere HaRambam Katav, Deba'inan Zechirat Shavach V'Kiddush. He says, because Maimonides says, you need to say something nice about Shabbat. Just say good Shabbos, good Tuesday, good Thursday. You didn't say anything special about Shabbat. You just said, good morning, good afternoon, good Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Meir Halacha, source number 8, he says, he doesn't like this, the extent that Rabbi Akiva goes, that Rabbi Akiva Eger goes. Okay, to say Kabbalat Shabbat, you're singing songs, how wonderful Shabbat is, calling Shabbat a queen, a bride. Okay, that is really praising Shabbat. But simply saying Shabbat Shalom, the Beir Halacha in source number 8, he doesn't like that. But still, so knock away Rabbi Akiva Eger. We still see, you go to shul on Friday night, you daven, you say Mekadesh HaShabbat, or you say Kabbalat Shabbat, you've already fulfilled your biblical requirement. It should be noted, in source number 9, the Aruch HaShulchan, it's sort of a contemporary of the source that we just saw of the Beir Halacha. The Aruch HaShulchan says, yes, there are many people who believe that it is only rabbinic. But he says, you should just know there are many who don't think that it's rabbinic. And if you look at the second paragraph in the English on source number 9 on page 2, he says, okay, many people have said, he cuts at the end of the previous paragraph, he quoted Maimonides, he quotes all the positions that we had. Aval, the second paragraph on source number 9, aval. But from the words of Rashi and Brachot, Rashi and Masechet Brachot writes that Kiddush is a positive time-bound mitzvah, implying that it's a biblical command. But the Torah says to mention it on Shabbat with wine, this implies that Kiddush on wine is biblical. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, not so fast. Okay, we've seen the Magen Avraham, we've seen Rabbi Akiva Eger, we've seen the Rashba, they all say that Kiddush on wine is only rabbinic. But the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, that's not how Rashi thinks. And he lists several other people. The name of the Rivan quotes that specifically with wine as a biblical mitzvah, and likewise writes the Or Zeruah HaGadol. So the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, lest you get away with thinking everyone thinks that Kiddush on Friday night on wine is rabbinic, because you've already said, you know, how great is Shabbat during Kabbalat Shabbat. So you fulfilled it earlier when you just said it in shul, and you come home and now it's on your bed. Lest you think that's everyone agrees, that's unanimous. Aruch HaShulchan says, no, there are opinions that say you need to actually, Kiddush on wine is in fact biblical. I'll give you two more also who say likewise. The Talmud in Masechet Pesachim on the bottom of page 10, bottom of page 2, source number 10, the Talmud says, Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov said, one must mention the Exodus from Egypt in Kiddush of Shabbat. How do I know? The proof is that here, with regard to Passover, it is written that you may remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt, using the word day. And it is written there, with regard to Shabbat, remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. So, down to the top of page 3, by means of a verbal analogy of the word day, these verses teach that one must also recall the Exodus on Shabbat. So the Talmud there concludes, you have the word day here, the word day there, day with Yetziyah Mitzrayim, day with the Exodus, and day with Shabbat. Oh! You got to mention Shabbat. When you do Kiddush, you got to mention the Exodus, which is why we do say, you know, in Kiddush, Zecher Letziyah Mitzrayim, remembering the Exodus from Egypt. That's because of this passage in the Talmud. And source number 11, this Rabbi Yosef Babad says, how could you ever fulfill the mitzvah on a biblical level by simply saying Mekadesh HaShabbat during davening? You didn't mention anything about Exodus from Egypt. How could you fulfill your biblical mitzvah of Kiddush when you say Lecha Dodi, come let us go greet the Shabbat queen? You could be praising Shabbat as much as you want. He says the Talmud in source number 10 told us that Kiddush requires not only praising Shabbat, but also mentioning the Exodus. And so for him, he would say it's got to be biblical. And he's bringing a good proof that says when we say Kiddush in shul, we have not, when we say how great Shabbat is in shul, We have not touched the biblical mitzvah. The biblical mitzvah comes when we recite Kiddush on wine at the table, and we mention how the sanctity of Shabbat, and we also mention the Exodus from Egypt. All of this is to say that we've seen the Magen Avraham and other opinions who say, assuming that you said anything in shul and during davening on Friday night, you have hit the biblical commandment. And that's the way 90% of all the authorities rule. They say, when you say it at home, when you say it in shul, you fulfilled the biblical mitzvah. And when you get home on grape juice, on wine, that's when you're doing a rabbinic mitzvah. But there are those who disagree and say, when you did it in shul is not yet biblical. You fulfill the biblical mitzvah when you get home, when you make Kiddush with your family on the grape juice and mention the Exodus from Egypt. So those are the two opinions. The majority opinion says Kiddush at home is rabbinic because we already fulfilled the mitzvah, the biblical mitzvah in shul. And there's a minority opinion that says you didn't fulfill anything at shul, at home or at shul. Sorry, you did not fulfill anything in shul. You only fulfilled the biblical when you get home. Those are the two sides. And that's going to have practical ramifications to our question about delaying. Before moving on, is that clear? Anything that I can clarify or re-explain?
Rabbi, I'm just curious. Why do some shuls, they actually, at the end of davening, they do kiddush in the shul?
That's an excellent question. Excellent question. Not for now, but an excellent question. There's a little bit of a historical piece to that. But there's also subject to a lot of discussion. And I think many contemporary authorities today will say, if you have a shul that's been saying Kiddush after davening on Friday night, they can keep doing it. But if you ever found a new shul, you create a new shul, you should not, because there's not really any strong basis for it. But it's a really interesting conversation, not for now, but a really interesting question. Why do some shuls, not all, some shuls make Kiddush on Friday night in shul? It's a good question.
That's all.
Presumably, yes. Yes. Let me just finish this point really quickly. Just presumably, that wouldn't be sufficient because of the question we had earlier. In order to fulfill Kiddush, you have to have your meal there. So unless you're having like a sit-down meal in shul on Friday night, that Kiddush that's recited in shul is not going to account for anything anyway. As far as the rabbinic or maybe biblical, if that's what it is. But yes. Another question.
I'd like to know what would be rabbinically sufficient in terms of keeping Shabbat if you don't go to shul on Friday night?
Excellent question. So it depends. It depends how we go. If you were to ask, if Rabbi Akiva Eger were standing here right now, he would say simply saying Shabbat Shalom is sufficient. We saw that not everyone agreed with that. I would say, like what the Rashba said, the Rashba said, as long as you say something that praises Shabbat, that says, you know, Shabbat is great, Shabbat is wonderful. I mean, maybe even if someone lights Shabbat candles and they say something about wonderful, how great Shabbat is, that would probably even be sufficient. You don't need to go jump through hoops. The whole idea is that as long as you're saying, wow, Shabbat is wonderful, Shabbat is great, it's a blessed day. According to those opinions, that's enough. According to the opinion that says it needs to be recited on grape juice, and that's where Kiddush happens on a biblical level, so then you can say whatever you want. But your question is asking, according to those opinions that say that when you make Kiddush on grape juice or wine, it's rabbinic, what do you have to do the biblical if you don't go to shul? So you say one of those things. You say how, wow, Shabbat is wonderful. Shabbat is great. It's a special day. You sing Kabbalat Shabbat. You say a couple lines of Kabbalat Shabbat. You sing Lech HaDodi, and that should be enough. We're going to come back to that. That's a good question. So now coming to the question about delay. Source number 12 is the Tur. It's a forerunner to the Shulchan Aruch. It's a major code of Jewish law. And the Tur says, source number 12, Rabbi Yaakov ben Asher died in 1340. So he says, K'shevo leveto, when you come home from shul, Yamaher le'achol miyad. You should go and say Kiddush immediately. You should eat and say Kiddush immediately. And then he cites the passage that cites the verse in the Torah that we saw earlier, D'tanya, because we have the Talmud teaches, remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it, which means mention it on wine at its entrance. And source number 13, Rabbi Yosef Karo, commentary to source number 12, he says, He quotes in full what the Torah had said in source number 12. In source number 13, he says that means one must recite Kiddush immediately upon wine, because all the Torah had said, you have to eat your meal. And he points out, eating the meal means you say Kiddush first. So there is this idea in the codes that we've seen. You want to make sure you recite Kiddush immediately, right away. Well, source number 14.
Rabbi?
Yes.
I just have a question. Did these people live at times when they changed the clocks?
I'm not sure the history of time changing, clock change, like daylight standard, like daylight savings. I imagine it didn't exist. That didn't exist, right? Isn't that like a more recent invention?
I would think so.
Yeah.
So they didn't have this dilemma that we have today.
We'll see. Well, let's come back to that. In source number 14, this is a Rabbi Herschel Schefter, a contemporary rabbi in New York City of Yeshiva University. So he has this a collection of different thoughts and Divrei Torah of Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik of Yeshiva University. So he quotes Rabbi Soloveitchik, and this is source number 14. The recitation of Kiddush serves as an act of sanctifying the day of Shabbat, and this sanctity only serves from that point on. And it is therefore appropriate to sanctify as much as possible the entire 24 hours of the day. So he's giving us an explanation. Why would it be that we want to rush to make sure that we say Kiddush as early as possible? Because we want to make sure that when we sanctify Shabbat, we're sanctifying the entire 24, really 25 hours of Shabbat. We don't want to leave anything without it being sanctified. I don't know what that means in practice, other than the idea that we want to bump up and say Kiddush as early as we possibly can. And that's why these authorities are saying you have to, they say Kiddush, you have to, when you come home from shul, go right to the meal because you want to make sure that you sanctify Shabbat as early as possible. So as to the question that Charles had asked before about historically, was this still a thing? Response of Ramami Pano, 1620s in Italy. He says the following, on the top of page 4 is the English. We have learned from the practices of most of Israel for a long time that they did not rush home on Shabbat immediately after evening prayers. Right? This is in the 1600s in Italy. He's saying people went to shul. They didn't rush home. They took their time. They walked slowly. Everyone is at his own pace. And we assume that Israel are the children of prophets, and they are certainly performing the mitzvah of mentioning Shabbat on wine at its entrance, so long as they don't begin their meal without Kiddush. And all the more so, since this is a rabbinic mitzvah, and merely remembering is a biblical mitzvah, and we fulfilled that already in services with the blessing of he who sanctifies the Sabbath. So you don't need to worry about it. The Ramami Pano of source number 15 is saying, don't worry about it. You can delay your meal. Jews did historically always delayed their meal. They went home from shul and they walked. They took the for 45 minutes, for an hour. They got around to it. They had their meal, but they delayed their meal. They didn't do it immediately. Why? Because, he says, it's only rabbinic. And since we're only in the world of rabbinics, there's a lot more reason for leniency. That's why the whole conversation we had before was that biblical or rabbinic is relevant. Because the whole standing that the Ramami Pano says is, since you already really did the real, true Kiddush in Shul, you sanctified Shabbat on a biblical level in Shul, take your time, take a walk. Everybody said, they had in the previous source. You want to catch the days you can with sanctity? You got that before. So you don't need to worry about anything right now. That's what the Ramam 16, the Mishnah Brura, Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, we saw earlier rules. If you're not so hungry, if you're not so hungry, you can delay. You don't want to make Kiddush. You don't want to start your meal at 5 o'clock. You want to wait till 7 o'clock? Go ahead. You can delay it. Not a big deal. Not a problem. Why not? He says, Shekvar zachar shabbat b'tfilato, because he assumes you already fulfilled your biblical obligation during prayer services in shul. Because, and therefore, you've already fulfilled your biblical mitzvah as long as you said it in shul. So the question was asked before. So a person comes home and they say, we don't want to start davening, right? We don't want to make kiddush right now. So either no one goes to shul or one person goes to shul. If everyone goes to shul, then it seems like Mishnah Berurah would say, you can delay. If one person goes to shul, if no one goes to shul, then you can delay with a little asterisk. The only reason one can delay is because one has already fulfilled the biblical mitzvah. But if there are people fulfilled the biblical mitzvah and they didn't go to shul, so then I think the Mishnah Berurah would say, you got to do something. To leave it at a biblical obligation, you can't, and then just wait and wait. No, you have a biblical mitzvah to do, you do it. So you got to fulfill the biblical mitzvah in some way. So that's why the question asked before, how do you fulfill it on a biblical level, is relevant. So there was Rabbi Kiva Eger who simply said, say good Shabbos, and you fulfilled it on a biblical level. But as we saw already, that's hard to, that's sort of a forced understanding. It's hard to say that that's really sufficient. So it probably is. You say something special about Shabbat. I mean, you could sing Kabbalat. You say Kabbalat Shabbat, you should be golden. But even if you don't say Kabbalat Shabbat, you come home and you see, you don't want to make Kiddush just yet. So you say something positive. You say, you know, Shabbat is just a wonderful day of rest. And it was Hashem blessed this day that we should have a day of rest. That should be enough on a biblical level to do it. No Kiddush, no wine, no anything. That should be enough on a biblical level. And so the leniency to take your time would only apply provided everyone there has fulfilled the biblical mitzvah. So that's why it's important to know. One last point on this, source number 17, the Shmirat Shabbat Kilchata, Rabbi Yeshua Neuberth, passed away in about a little less than a decade ago. He has the following question. I heard from Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that one could also ask regarding one who is tired, whether he is permitted to sleep before Kiddush. Right? You come home, it's 4:30. You don't want to eat till 8 o'clock. You're tired. Can I take a nap? Can I take a nap for 45 minutes? So Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was unsure. On the one hand, why not? Okay, take a nap. You'll wake up, you'll make Kiddush later. Assuming you did the biblical mitzvah, you're good. On the other hand, he says, you don't want to miss. What happens if you sleep through the night? You go to sleep at 5 o'clock, you're exhausted, you wake up the next morning at 5 a.m., like, have you missed the entire mitzvah? So he's not entirely sure whether we should allow someone to go home and take a nap. Okay, you go home and you sit around, you play a board game, you read a book, you learn some Torah. We're not concerned that you're going to miss dinner. You're going to miss Kiddush. If you really take a nap, who knows when you're going to wake up? So he's not really sure about that. I would say if you're really tired, I wouldn't recommend taking a nap unless you remind people to wake you up. But that's what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has. So at this point, bottom line, can you delay Kiddush? It depends. According to the Mishnah Berurah, if one has already fulfilled their biblical mitzvah, which we saw already is not necessarily the case, because maybe you didn't fulfill the biblical mitzvah, because there are opinions who say that you need to do it on wine and grape juice to be a biblical mitzvah. But if you assume not like that, the Mishnah Berurah is not assuming like that. The Mishnah Berurah is saying, assuming you fulfilled your biblical mitzvah already at shul, and you can fulfill your biblical mitzvah even not at shul if you just say something special about Shabbat. So then you can go ahead and delay your meal. But if you want to assume like the other authorities who say that the biblical mitzvah is kiddush with wine at the table, then you really shouldn't delay. And even if you don't hold like that, and you hold like the positions you say you did fulfill the biblical mitzvah, but you have other people who didn't, so you shouldn't delay. So bottom line, it depends if it's biblical or not. If it's not biblical, the mitzvah is on everyone at the table is only rabbinic, there's reason to say you can be lenient and you can delay. But if not, if there's reason to believe that not everyone has fulfilled the biblical mitzvah, so then you should go ahead right ahead and make sure to fulfill the biblical mitzvah and not let it sit aside. There's one more opinion that I want to put out here that I think is a wild opinion. And this is cited by the Rabbi Avram Gambiner, who we saw earlier. He says the following. There's something unique about 6 p.m. Source number 18. It is written in the Tikkuni Shabbat. This is some Kabbalistic Zoharic text. It is written in the Tikkuni Shabbat that one should recite Kiddush before night. That is before, if you have like a perfect day of 12 hours of sunlight, right before 6 p.m. when it starts at sunset, before night. For that is when the constellation Madin is in power. It's a constellation. I looked up, Madin might be Mars. Constellation, this astrological power of Madin is in power during that time. And after the sixth hour is the constellation Tzedek. Tzedek means justice. And therefore, one should make Kiddush during Tzedek. So Rabbi Avram Gambiner and the Magen Avram says, just make sure you don't say Kiddush on Friday night in the sixth hour of the night. What does that mean, sixth hour of the night? So source number 19, Shulchan Menachem. Shulchan Menachem is a collection of the teachings of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. What is written regarding not to make Kiddush between the sixth and seventh hours on Friday? These are 60-minute hours, meaning this is like when you look at your clock and see that it's 6 p.m. For the precession of the constellations are equal during the summer and the winter, and midday is the same weather in the south and north. He says that the whole concern is the constellations. It doesn't matter the season. It doesn't matter the time of year. It doesn't matter where on earth you are. It matters 6 o'clock. At 6 o'clock on my watch, local standard time, that's when the constellation Madim has sway in this region. And so the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, and this is the practice of Chabad Hasidim to this day, they avoid making Kiddush between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. And this is even, you go to Crown Heights, the Lubavitcher Rebbe apparently never made Kiddush between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. Even though you want to make sure you don't delay Kiddush, but he would absolutely delay it if Kiddush would fall out between 6 and 7. So that's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe would do. So do we have to be concerned about this? The Chabad Hasidim are absolutely concerned about this, and they do not make Kiddush at 6 p.m., no matter what time Shabbat starts. But the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 20, you can see it in English on the top of page 5. He says, it is obvious that if one cannot eat yet, one can wait until the night. So that's the idea, you can delay. And I saw what was written about specifically before night, for at the beginning of the night is the constellation Madin. And at the end of the sixth hour is the constellation Tzedek, and so one should say Kiddush during Tzedek. In my humble opinion, the Aruch HaShulchan says, this is wild. For God forbid that we are under the constellations. To the contrary, I saw in the works of our predecessors that early nations would sit in darkness and cry on Shabbat, for the constellations were bad. But God commanded us the opposite, to light many lights and to enjoy ourselves, to show that we are above the constellations. And we should follow the way of God, taking us above the heavens. And how could one say something like this? It requires much investigation. And one who has faith in God, kindness surrounds him. He says, this idea, don't make Kiddush between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. He says, I don't understand how anyone could say such a thing. That seems to be in opposition to everything that we as Jews stand for, that what Judaism is. We don't believe in constellations. We don't do that. And so the Aruch HaShulchan says, you should never have to worry about what time you work with your clock. Oh, it's 6 o'clock. I shouldn't make Kiddush. Aruch HaShulchan says that's narishkeit. That's silliness. That's maybe even heretical. It's not Jewish. You don't have to be concerned about that. So bottom line, do I really have to eat so early? The answer is it depends. According to most authorities, assuming one said Ma'ariv or one has said something nice about Shabbat, you have fulfilled your biblical obligation, and therefore you can delay your rabbinic obligation of Kiddush during the meal, and so you may delay that meal. If you have not fulfilled your biblical mitzvah for whatever reason, or there are other people at the table who have not fulfilled their biblical mitzvah for any reason, then one should not delay. And as far as what happens if it's 6 p.m., can I make Kiddush during 6 p.m.? The Lubavitchers will say definitely not, but I think everyone else will agree you definitely can. So hopefully that gives us a little more as we go into Kiddush in a couple days from now. I mean, someone asked, wouldn't all agree that the ideal for those who aren't in shul is to daven Ma'ariv at home rather than simply saying nice things about Shabbat? But maybe. I think the Rashba wouldn't say you have to do that. I think the Rashba would say, well, I mean, listen, yes, it's always nice to say, not always nice to go to shul, always nice to daven Ma'ariv. But I don't know if it's absolutely, I mean, listen, I start Shemayim, come Friday night, we could always use the numbers of Rovam, Hadron, Melech. It's a glorious, wonderful thing to have a large group of people in shul. But strictly speaking, the Rashba doesn't seem to say. The Rashba says that biblically, people said whatever came to their mind. It was only the rabbis came along and said, do it in a certain way. So yeah, maybe it's better to daven Ma'ariv at home, but I don't know if you have someone who doesn't ever daven Ma'ariv. That could be more of a conversation about davening Ma'ariv as opposed to fulfilling the biblical mitzvah. That's how I would phrase that question. Yeah, good to daven Ma'ariv, even better to come to shul. But if you don't, even saying something nice about Shabbat should be enough to fulfill the biblical mitzvah.
So can I ask you the tachlis?
Yeah.
You've got children, and it's 4:36, and you've lit the candles. What do you do next?
So I went to shul. I fulfilled my biblical commandment according to most authorities. My wife, so my children are children. They don't have they're under bar and bat mitzvah. It's not a question for them at all. So the question would be, so if my wife said Kabbalat Shabbat, then I would say delay. If she didn't say Kabbalat Shabbat and she didn't do anything of the sort, then I would say, maybe you should say Kabbalat Shabbat, or I wouldn't. And I would say, okay, let's make Kiddush right now. But I would probably encourage her to say Kabbalat Shabbat. Now, according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, when I walked in the door and said Good Shabbos, and she said Good Shabbos, we're already in the clear. But as we saw, people are not, the Mishnah Berurah, the Mir Halacha, was not willing to say such a thing. But if you ask me personally, I went to shul, my wife didn't. I would say, did you say Kabbalat Shabbat? She says, I did say Kabbalat Shabbat. I said, okay, let's play a board game. If she said she didn't say Kabbalat Shabbat, I'd say, okay, either say Kabbalat Shabbat or let's go into the meal right now. That's how I would answer that question. Any other questions? Okay, well, hopefully this gives us a little bit more to know as we get into the colder winter months about how to navigate Kiddush. Next week, the plan is we're going to talk a little bit about Sudash Lishit and its long-lost cousin, Malava Malka. There's an idea, three meals, eating three meals on Shabbat, and how do you do that when there's about a 20-minute gap between when you, when you had lunch, you finish lunch, and then 20 minutes later, it's time for Sudash Lishit. How do you do that? But it also affords you a wonderful opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Malava Malka, which many of us are not always so careful about, especially in the summer months. So we'll talk a little bit about Malava Malka as well next week. Until then, wishing everyone an early Shabbat Shalom and have a good night.
Thank you so much. Very interesting.
Shikor.
Thank you. Very interesting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone for coming.
Thank you.
Shikor.
Thank you, Chaim. Thank you for your question. It's a good point.
It's not just the halacha, but it's also policy. It's sort of both, meaning once we're saying to, say good Shabbos, say nice things, just encourage people to daven Ma'ariv. I mean, it's just obviously more ideal.
Yeah, that's true. And on Shari Shemaim Zoom, I should say, definitely come to Shari Shemaim. Come. It's wonderful that everyone coming for davening. It's beautiful. We get some beautiful singing. The chazan does a beautiful job. Everyone should come to Shari Shemaim, regardless of when Shabbat starts. All right. Lila Tov, everyone.
Yeah, all too.